Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're talking about the theology of the cross, continuing our conversation with Pastor Bill Swirla. Basic difference between how you read the Bible, how you read your life, really, is God quid pro quo. That is he the God who can be easily discerned according to our standards of how we think a God ought to behave? Bad people get bad things. Good people get good things. And if the bad people don't get bad things now, well, they'll get bad things later. Sooner or later, it's going to come around, and all those chickens will come home to roost. And yet, you look at your life, and sometimes a lot of chickens come home to roost, and you're supposed to be a Christian, enjoying the favor of God. And then people who aren't Christians, life seems to just go like a bed of roses for them. We have lots of ways we rationalize and try to explain or help God out of this fix. We say, well, you know, those rich people, they're not really happy, are they? Some of them really are. Some of them are giddy with happiness. So how does it work? You know, if you can explain bad things or good things in your life without the cross of Jesus Christ, you probably got a theology of glory at work in your life, not a theology of the cross. It's Sunday night, January the 13th. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Pastor Bill Swirla is pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California, author of an article in Modern Reformation magazine titled Suffering, Death, and the Hidden God. Bill, welcome back.
Good to be back, Todd.
Let's talk with Stephen in Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri. Stephen, thank you for waiting and welcome.
Yes, first of all, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Wonderful program. I'm enjoying this. Very challenging. I guess my question is, how does this view of the theology of the cross affect the comfort and care that we give to others? And should we pray for healing, or should we only pray for the will of God when there's physical sickness?
Well, that's an interesting question, Stephen. Thank you very much. A lot of Christians struggle with this. Is it an either-or, healing or the will of God, Pastor Swirla?
I like the question, and I think it really is. It's the kind of thing that the theology of the cross is. It's a very practical theology, in fact. The theology of glory is rather speculative and abstract. This is very concrete, and the question addresses that. Here's how I handle it as a pastor. We always pray as Jesus taught us to pray, thy will be done. He himself prayed that in the garden. He got him crucified. you know, I always have to remember that. He prayed not my will, but yours be done, and that landed him on the cross. That was the will of God. So we recognize that as we pray, say somebody is sick, we're praying with them and for them. We don't know what the will of God is for them. We do know that it is the will of God that they be saved. We do know that it is the will of God that they be covered with the righteousness of Christ and that they be rescued ultimately from sin and death and be raised to eternal life. That we know. But the particulars of the outcome of that illness, whether they would be healed now or in the resurrection, we don't know. And one of the things that I always tell people as I pray with them, and I also anoint them in their sickness, and that is I remind them that all healing comes from Christ. He is the source of all healing. The miracles, in part, demonstrate that he heals without the middleman. You know, no doctors, no HMOs, no medicine. He is the source of all healing. And he, by his death and resurrection, has borne our infirmities on the cross. And so he has dealt with our sicknesses. All prayers for healing are answered in the affirmative. We just don't know when. For many, it will be not short of the resurrection of the body. See, in the resurrection of the body, all sickness is over, and we are ultimately and finally healed of everything that is wrong as a result of our sin, everything that is wrong with our humanity. It's gone. It's the end of clogged arteries and cancers and everything else. Now, if God in his wisdom, for whatever his purposes, wishes to give us a little sneak preview of that, we're more than happy to receive that and give all thanks and praise to him. And if not, we're more than happy to receive that and give all thanks and praise to him, knowing that our ultimate healing is finally in the resurrection of our bodies, all thanks to Jesus. So it's not really exclusive. It's quite a both-and kind of thing.
Okay, so then with only 30 seconds, should Christians ever feel like they're kind of tossing the dice when they say, thy will be done? That's our natural inclination, is to think, I don't know if I really want to ask for this, but I'm going to anyway because he commanded me to do it, and I may end up, you know, sick or poor or something. Should we have any of that sense, really, ultimately, if we abide in God's word and its promises, should we fear to pray, thy will be done?
No. I like the way you put it, but the catechism is helpful here, the Lutheran catechism. First of all, the will of God is good and gracious. So we shouldn't fear that because the will of God is always good and gracious. Secondly, our prayers are not part of the bargaining scheme here because the will of God is done even without our prayer. So by our saying it, we're acknowledging that fact. God is God. We're not God. That is good and ultimate good for us. So it is a dangerous prayer, yes, because it means not my will, not the world's will, not the devil's will. It means my will is going to be broken, and it's going to be conformed to the will of God. But the good news, the gospel side of it, is that the will of God is ever good and gracious. It's a will to save.
Tony listens in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Tony, thank you for waiting, and welcome to Issues Etc.
Hello, Pastor Wilkin and Reverend Bill Swirler. I enjoyed both of y'all's show tonight. It's been great. And thank you, Pastor Wilkin, for answering my questions on the Issue Etc. listener comment line. I've really appreciated that. You've really helped me out a lot.
Happy to do it.
I just wanted to thank you. I just had a few comments and just observations, and maybe y'all could comment on them. The job that I work at, my vocation, I know a lot of times, and, I don't have the best attitude, and I'm not really, I'm kind of aggravated with the neighbors that I'm serving at times, and I just don't have the right attitude. And I know before I became a Lutheran Christian, I'd heard a lot of preaching and teaching on that if you could just get your act together, God would bless you. And if you didn't get your act together, if you had pride and you had wrong motives and, you weren't very faithful, you weren't going to get anything from God. Well, I'm here to tell you now that there's a lot of times that I come to work and I don't have the proper motives and the right attitude. I struggle a lot with that. And you know what? God still blesses me. Sometimes things just go really great for me at work, so I can never really judge how God is in favor to, how God stands with me because of the temporal circumstances. But it does show that, being a Christian, even when I am blowing it, from my own perspective, and maybe actually am blowing, I feel like I'm blowing it a lot, every day in thought, word, and deed, and that's why I confess that I'm a poor, miserable sinner, but God is still gracious to me. So the theology of glory would say, well, if you get your act together and you get rid of pride and you get rid of these bad habits and that sort of thing, God will bless you. But if you don't, guess what? God's not going to bless you. Well, I just think that's false. And maybe you could comment a little bit on that. And the second thing I wanted to say was, when the church, I'm in a Lutheran church, and I know one of the people there listened to this show, and I don't, I'm kind of hesitant to say, but it just really bothers me that they don't go from the hymnal on the liturgy, and they want to substitute it with their own. I mean, I don't know. I just will say that I think that the church should stick to the hymnal, the liturgy, and the hymnal, and stop trying to appeal to the seeker-sensitive type of thing. Or maybe our church isn't growing. I have confronted them with it, and they just said, well, it can get repetitive and people might just be mouthing the words and they might not really, it might start to not mean it from the heart. It might just be a mantra or something, but
all right, Tony, we're going to get your get response to at least your first comment there on the other side of this break. We're talking with Pastor Bill Swirla. Tony says he's kind of living proof of the theology of the cross every day. If God were quid pro quo, he wouldn't be enjoying the blessings that God showers down upon him. I know this is the way it is with me. I've gotten to the point in my life where when things are going well, I'm scratching my head saying, God, why in the world would you deal with me this way? Because I certainly don't deserve it. We'll get a response to Tony's comment on the other side of the break. Pastor Bill Swirla is our guest, pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California, author of an article in Modern Reformation magazine titled Suffering, Death, and the Hidden God. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're coming to you live this Sunday night, January the 13th. Pastor Bill Swirla is our guest. Dr. Arthur Just on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
We believe that people come to faith by hearing the word of God and that the Spirit works through that word. The heart of the proclamation of that word is the pastoral office. The study for the office of the public ministry is one of the great vocations that a man can consider in helping others to be joined to Christ, to be in communion with Him.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, and Concordia Seminary, St. Louis are preparing Christ-centered, cross-focused pastors for the 21st century. For more information, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and find out about Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, serving church and world, and Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, preparing servants in Jesus Christ. Issuesetc.org.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc. This allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And our new level, the patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Now, each Reformation Club member receives premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by credit card, our resource line number 1-800-737-0172, or online, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. We Christians find ourselves in the real circumstances of life, and that often means suffering of various degrees. It means illness, and it does mean death. And I think one of the things that our caller before the break had asked about, or an earlier caller had said, what does this mean for dealing with others who are in the midst of suffering? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is precisely the kind of resource centered in a theology of the cross to equip you for comforting others with the message of Christ's cross in the midst of their suffering. It's called Visitation. You can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. You can also find out more about this book, Visitation, by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January called Visitation. Before the break, Tony was on the line, Pastor Swirla. Two comments I want your response on. First of all, he says, I'm kind of living proof of the theology of the cross. I blow it every day, and God continues to bless me. Your thoughts there?
I like the way Tony applies this to vocation, because, again, it's very practical doctrine. The theology of the cross does not expect every day in your vocation to be one brimming with successes, apparent successes, and you don't measure your faithfulness and vocation by how great a day you've had, necessarily. Well, as he was talking, I was writing Jonah and Jeremiah. Talk about attitude. These are supposed to be prophets of God. Jonah called to preach the gospel, preach repentance to the Ninevites, and he takes a ship to in the opposite direction. You know, books a ship to Spain. And even when the results are good and Nineveh repents, he's got an attitude. He's sitting on a hill and he's upset with God because it's just not working out the way he thinks it should. And I love this, that God blesses in spite of our attitude. And sometimes what happens is we are then changed. We're brought to a repentance. That's my experience, and I'm sure you remember those days too, when you don't feel like being there on Sunday morning as a pastor. Thank God for the liturgy, because we know it's not reliant on how we feel. And so somewhere between the Introit and the Gloria in Excelsis, you know, my mood doth change, and the blessings of God have had their way with me, and it's wonderful. I mean, I like being free of that. It's not dependent on how I feel about the job that I'm doing, the vocation that I have. The other note that I wrote when he was writing is sometimes we miss out on the blessing because we're looking for some other blessing. See, we have this idea how God should work, and as a result, we are missing out of some of the singular joys of the ordinary blessings of vocation and the day-to-day things. Because these are little hidden things. And the theology of the cross is about God's glory being hidden for our benefit. We can't handle the full blast of his glory. There are only a handful of people who saw even an inkling of that, and they were nearly struck dead. And so God, in his mercy and his benevolence, he hides his glory behind the weakness of the cross, and he deals with us in that humble sort of way. And that's the way vocation is, too. It's not about fireworks every day. It's about humble, faithful service where God has hidden himself behind the masks of vocation. And these humble daily tasks, which are really the work of God.
The other thing Tony raised, at least in my mind, was the whole issue of numbers in the church. Are we growing? Are we shrinking? And I'm wondering if we could talk about the theology of the cross as it does apply to the church. I've noticed two extremes, and they seem almost to be just kind of two manifestations of the same thing. The church says, hey, look, we're growing. We must be doing something right, and God must be blessing us, therefore. Or, on the other extreme, and I know a lot of pastors like this of my ilk who say, look, we're shrinking, and that means we're being faithful. We must be doing something right because we're shrinking. Talk about numbers and the theology of glory in the church.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, and it kind of loops back to sort of our part of our discussion in the first hour. You can't conclude that every poor sufferer is blessed by God because Lazarus was. You can't conclude that just because people are fleeing your church and you're down to the divine quorum of two or three gathered in the name of Jesus that you're doing everything right. You may not be, but you may. You can't tell. That's the key. You can't tell. The numbers. Like Eugene Peterson says this about numbers in the church, they're not good, they're not bad, they just are. If lots of people are flocking to hear the good news of Jesus and receive baptism and receive the body and blood of Christ, well, the Lord be praised. This is wonderful. And if not, well, the Lord be praised because the numbers, the tally, the attendance. Figures are not a measure either of faithfulness or of God's faithfulness or of God's blessing. They just simply are. I like the response. I don't know who it came from. I heard this story secondhand of the pastor who was asked how many people he had in his church, and his response was, as many as the Lord gives. Which, that should give us all kind of pause for thought there. As many as the Lord gives.
Frank is listening in Indianapolis. Frank, thank you for being so patient.
Hi, gentlemen. I do appreciate what Tony had said about the liturgy of the church, and I'm in the same path that he's in. Please don't change. I talked to the LCMS church that I attend and planning on joining, and I told some of the folks there, don't change. You're doing what's right. And I appreciated a lot of what he said. Also plan, I hope, to plan to help support the KFUO more this year than I was in 2007. And, you know, it just there's a lot of things that the LCMS does that is historic Christianity.
What's your question?
Protestantism.
What's your question or comment,
my
friend?
Question would be this. When Jesus was on the cross and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Doesn't that illustrate that he was fully human as well as divine, that illustrated his total humanity, completely human.
Thank you very much, Frank. Let's see, about a minute to respond to Frank's call before our break, Pastor Swirla.
To the forsakenness of God.
Yeah.
It's a difficult passage. Of course, Jesus is quoting, I believe it's Psalm 2. And there it's David who is crying out, or Psalm 22.
Yeah, 22.
Where it's where David is crying out as the sufferer forsaken by God. Yes, I'm not sure that it illustrates his humanity so much as it is, as this, as I said before, this is Christ's prayer on behalf of all humanity. This is the stance of faith, you see, that prays to God when God is not apparently there. Very easy to pray to a God who is there. That's why idolatry is so incredibly enticing, is you can make sure that your gods are always within reach, you see. And so it provides a kind of a handy way to be sure that you're connected. But here, it's a marvelous paradox. He prays to the God who has abandoned him. That's faith. And his final word, again, is a word of prayer. Into your hands I commit my spirit. See, so without any tangible evidence that the Father is with him, he nonetheless prays. That's the stance of faith. That's the faithfulness of our Lord. That's the faith into which we are baptized, and that is our own in Christ.
Pastor Bill Swirla is our guest. We're talking about the theology of the cross. He's pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California, author of an article in Modern Reformation magazine titled "Suffering and Death, Suffering, Death, and the Hidden God." When we come back, we'll get to your phone calls and to your email, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. That email address here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Before our time runs out, we do need to talk about that saying that so many Christians utter, well, we all have our crosses to bear. What exactly are the Christians' crosses? We'll be right back.
Anger, self-pity, loneliness, addiction, suffering, and suicide are just some of the topics covered in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January. It's titled Visitation. You can find out more on our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Arthur Just is the co-editor of this devotional resource. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Visitation.
Why not send a high school-age man from your congregation to Taste of the Sim, January 19th through the 21st, on the campus of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis? Taste of the Sim gives high school men the opportunity to experience seminary life. For more information on Taste of the Sim, January 19th through the 21st, at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, visit the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, or call 1-800-822-9545.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again. I'm talking with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, senior editor at Concordia Publishing House. Concordia Publishing House has a new Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, first off, what's missing from so many Sunday school curricula?
I think a lot of substance is missing, and quite often Christ is missing in the way that he needs to be taught as Savior from sin, death, and the devil. There might be a mention of Christ. Maybe Christ is a great example. Christ is a good teacher, a moral teacher. But specifically, every week, we're missing often Christ as our Savior from sin and death.
Okay, so that's the sad general state of Sunday school curricula today. So what makes growing in Christ different? How is growing in Christ unique?
I think growing in Christ, we've been very intentional in in one, teaching the scriptures. We are concerned about Bible literacy. Pastors tell us they get kids in confirmation that they don't know any of the Bible stories. They don't know any of the Bible people. So we're trying to teach the Bible stories, the who, what, where, and when. But we're teaching them in the context of Christ. And every story, every week, be it Old or New Testament, connects to Christ as the Savior. And every story, every week, also connects the child to their life in the family of God. We have liturgy links or worship links. We're intentionally teaching the language of the faith and our faith vocabulary. And where does that come from? From the scriptures, for us as Lutherans, the catechism, and from our hymnal. Those are the ways we express what we believe about God and Christ. And so we want to teach that expression of the faith to our children and raise them up again in this family of God. That's all part of growing in Christ very intentionally, so that a child every week when they leave, they're certain that though they are a sinner, there is a Savior, Christ Jesus, who has come and done away with sin and death for them.
Are you looking for a truly Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum for your church or Sunday school? Call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask about growing in Christ. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find the Growing in Christ logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click the logo for more information about this truly Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ, from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the theology of the cross. Pastor Bill Swirla is our guest, pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California, author of an article in Modern Reformation magazine titled Suffering, Death, and the Hidden God. You could read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section. You'll find Suffering, Death, and the Hidden God by Pastor Bill Swirla. And we also have several other resources there on the theology of the cross. Issuesetc.org. Here's Matt in Florida. Hi, Matt. Matt, welcome to the program.
Oh, there you are. How you doing, Todd? How you doing, River Swirla? Excuse me. I'm always reminded to bring up to people when they want to, when they're off on a tangent with the theology of glory, that one time when I was in church, it was in the church that I was in previously, they asked everybody if there was anything that they needed prayer, and one woman stood up and she said, "I'm just about at the end of my rope. I've been out of work for about 2 months, and I don't know how we're going to pay the rent this time. It looks like we're going to get evicted, but I'm up for this job, and I really, really need this job. And if I get this job, it can just be the change that's required. I mean, I really need this. There's about six other people up for this, and if we could just pray for this, that I get this job." And so everyone said, "Okay, well, we'll pray about that." So everyone's praying, and right in the middle of it, I stopped to think for a second. Aren't we kind of by default, if we're praying that this woman gets this job, praying that the other six people don't? And usually a light bulb goes off for some people have thought about that, but most people haven't really considered that. Their prayers go down this path where they pray for one particular thing without even thinking about the way the rest of it works. And they don't realize that everything that God does, it doesn't matter who he picks that's going to get that job, everything that God does is perfect, even in a fallen world.
Okay, Matt, you raised an interesting question there. I guess let me add to something he said, a question of mine in just a moment, but is this how it works, to pray that I get a job or someone gets a job, is to pray that someone else doesn't? Is there kind of this zero-sum game in God's economy of how he meets out the blessings and the things we need for this daily life, Pastor Swirla?
It's what kind of reminds me of that movie Bruce Almighty. you know, where he, I think he pulls the moon in a little bit closer so that it can be nice, bright, and romantic, and he's causing tidal waves and flooding in India. And there's this sort of interconnectedness. It's a provocative thought, and I thought of several things. One is how we pray for these things, that we're so specific. Please let me get this job. Obviously, every hire is going to involve a bunch of people who don't get the job. I would ask the question, which takes more faith, to say thanks be to God if you get the job or thanks be to God if you didn't get the job? I think it takes more faith to do the latter, which again is kind of the theology of the cross. Both are gifts, but faith receives the not the job as a gift. That's kind of part and parcel of this. I'm also thinking of Philippians 4, where Paul says, rejoice, and again I say it, rejoice. Let everybody know your forbearance, the Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And very often I think our prayers, the thy will be done or through Jesus Christ our Lord, really sometimes they're in the back of our minds, it's thank you in advance for your cooperation, like a business letter. I don't believe that's what this means, and I'm instructed by Pastor Corby, from whom I learned this, where he says, prayer and petition with thanksgiving, to ask God whatever it is that you want, and there aren't really many rules about prayer and petition, to bring your petitions before God, but always with thanksgiving. And he understood it this way, and I like this, and I teach this, to thank God for the circumstances that brought you to prayer in the first place. So are you unemployed? Then yes, pray for a job. But thank God for the unemployment that has brought you to this moment of prayer and this profound realization of your reliance on God for daily bread. You know, are you lonely? Pray for a friend, certainly. But thank God for the solitude that brought you to prayer. And this is what I teach consistently off of this passage. And I think that's the way of faith, to thank God for the very thing, the very burden that has brought you to prayer, because it has become, see, now a profoundly spiritual thing. Whether it comes out the way you hope or not is almost irrelevant, because you are speaking to your Father in heaven through his Son, Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit. And that's the great thing.
Okay, where's the line between a couple questions coming off of Matt's call? First of all, does the theology of glory creep in when we pray in such a way as to dictate the answer to God with that kind of specificity? It's this job, or he must have said no. It's this solution to the problem, the only one I can see, or he must be forgetting me or not answering my prayer. Is that also kind of a nascent theology of glory working there?
Can be. I'm hesitant to really dictate the vocabulary of prayer, especially when it comes to prayer, to petition and supplication, the way Paul's speaking, because we are, after all, children before God, and you know how it is with your children. They don't always ask in the right way, but you kind of get what they're saying. And that's why I'm thankful that Paul says in Romans 8, we don't know how to pray anyway. So the reason I think my prayers don't come out the way I pray them is the Holy Spirit has already interceded for me with these divine sighs and groanings, and he's basically saying to the Father, no, that's not what he needs. just do it this way. And I think that's all embodied in thy will be done. And when we don't, I'm not saying we have to say that like a formula, but boy, it sure helps to say it like a formula. When we don't articulate that, and when that's not the umbrella over all of these needs for which we're praying, then we're coming dangerously close to a theology of glory, no matter how we articulate the petitions.
How often does also a theology of glory creep in when, in our sincere supplication before God, what we're really seeking, if we're honest with ourselves, is a life without crosses, a job without crosses, a family life without, a marriage without crosses, a parenting experience without, a career without crosses?
Yeah, we don't like to suffer, and we can speak piously about our crosses, but we neglect the simple fact that crosses are very painful and they invariably kill. To be nailed to a cross is a fatal condition. And so I think we've sort of sugar-coated this entirely. And you're right. You're right. And I think some of the great hymns of the past that speak of bearing our crosses patiently. One of the great hallmarks of faith in the Bible is that Greek word hypomone, which means patient endurance. It means you don't get a shortcut. It means that that the easy path is not laid out before you, but you patiently endure what's given you with no foreseeable end in sight, knowing only this, that Good Shepherd Jesus is with you every step of the way and will bring you through to eternal life. That particular characteristic, hypomone, that's one of the big faith words in the New Testament.
Rick's listening in Mountain View, California on KFAX. Rick, thanks for waiting and welcome.
Yes, I wanted to ask about where sowing and reaping comes into play. I don't view it like the Eastern concept of karma because God can always intervene with his grace, but still, you know, Paul did write about God is not mocked, that what you sow, so shall you reap.
Where does that fit in, Pastor Schwerle, with the, and thanks, Rick, where does it fit in with the notion that God doesn't work quid pro quo, and yet there is this very clear teaching, what a man sows, so shall he reap?
I'm kind of giving that pause for thought here, because Paul is using that in regards to supporting the pastors, supporting those who teach, and encouraging them not to be stingy in their giving. And then he cites this, as a man sows, so shall he reap. I think there's an underlying understanding here that we are intimately involved in the activity of God. That is, we're not stones and wood, and God is not working around us. He's working in with and under our activity, and therefore, the act of sowing. Well, what is the act of sowing really? When you are in possession of seed, you're giving it up. You're literally dropping dead to it, and only in dropping dead to the seed can you then reap the harvest. Jesus liked that analogy, used it in a lot of his parables. That's true of all of the things in our life. We will enjoy them the most, and they will serve others the most as we drop dead to them and hold them with the dead hand of a sower. You know, a sower doesn't grip the seed with a clenched fist, but it's a very open hand that lets it fly in all directions. And if I take one of Jesus' parables about the fourfold soil literally, he doesn't even care where it lands. It's really going all over the place. And so it's not really a transaction that if you sow generously, you reap generously, but you must sow in order to reap. You must let go of these things in order to see the larger benefit. Think of the parable of the talents, where the master entrusts his servants with these talents. And the one guy who blows it is the guy who hangs on to it for dear life, wraps it up in a handkerchief, tucks it in a drawer, presents it back to his master all shiny, and says, "I know you're a hard man and you judge, and you exact this for that," he says.
Let's pick up there on the other side of the break. 10 more minutes on the other side with Pastor Bill Schwerle. Pastor John Folley of LCMS World Relief on its support for military chaplains.
These chaplains end up being deployed for 13 months, and they come back to take their parish, and they have to go through a time of adjusting back to civilian life, back to their marriage and their family, and then back to the congregational setting. And World Relief and Human Care is utilizing our part of our Soldiers of the Cross Fund to explore ways that we can be of support to these pastors, to their wives and to their children, but also to their congregations in helping their reentry be as smooth and as helpful as possible.
Support the military chaplaincy by making a tax-deductible gift to LCMS World Relief Earmark your donation for Soldiers of the Cross, 1-888-930-4438.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of Issues, Etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. 10 minutes with Pastor Bill Swirla, talking about the theology of the cross. Pastor Swirla, you are vice president of a youth organization called Higher Things. Tell us a little bit about Higher Things.
Higher Things is a grassroots Lutheran youth organization composed of LCMS pastors and youth workers that is devoted to basically inculcating, creating, encouraging a Lutheran ethos and identity amongst our youth today. We feel this is more essential than ever before. During the high school years, that our youth have a very firm grasp on Lutheran catechesis, Lutheran worship, and are really equipped to meet the challenges of the world, and especially as they go off to school or go out into their vocations, that they have a sense of who they are as Lutheran Christians. And so we're devoted to helping parents and congregations and pastors inculcate that Lutheran identity amongst our youth. To that end, we really have three vehicles by which we do that. One is our annual conferences. This year we're going to have three conferences. The theme conference theme is Amen. It's the gift received word, Amen. We'll be in the Poconos at the University of Scranton, June 24th to 27th, and in St. Louis at St. Louis University, July 1st through the 4th, and also out on the West Coast at the Concordia University in Irvine, July 15th through the 18th. And all the information for those conferences is on the website, which is the second vehicle, higherthings.org. We have a very comprehensive website. It's interactive. It has blogs, forums, articles, resources, wonderful daily devotions called Reflections. You can download them daily, just simply read them. I think you can still hear them, or you can download the entire batch per season on PDF file. I distribute them in my own congregation as kind of a devotional resource, and they're very appreciated. And then lastly, we have a magazine, Higher Things, Dare to be Lutheran, and that comes out quarterly. It has quite in-depth articles written toward a high school audience, but taking our audience seriously and taking their intelligence seriously as well. So we deal with contemporary issues, we deal with theological issues, and the questions that the youth are asking, and hopefully giving them resources that will equip them to be citizens and be worshiping Christians in the world today.
Find out more about Higher Things, this great new youth organization, by going to their website. He mentioned it before, higherthings.org, higherthings.org, and it will give you information, all the other resources they provide for today's youth. Paul in Milwaukee listens on WRRD, and he asks a simple question. Where will I hear the theology of the cross in American pulpits today? Pastor Swirla.
Well, the term theology of the cross is, if you will Google it or do a wiki thing on it, it's a Luther term. Luther coined that term in contradiction to the theology that he saw in the church of his age, and it was really the kind of, it doesn't come up in his writings much, but it's the key thought in the Reformation. I would say wherever the Lutheran confessions are adhered to, you ought to hear that. Now, you may not hear that phrase. In fact, it's a little bit like, there's stock phrases like word and sacrament, law and gospel, theology of the cross, that sometimes get overworked. And it's not really the words that have the power, but it's the proclamation of that that does. And I would say, I would put it as succinctly as this: wherever Christ crucified is preached centrally, that is where everything that is said is said in such a way that you couldn't say it had Jesus not died on a cross and risen from the dead, there the theology of the cross is in effect, it's in operation. I would hope that it would be heard in every church that bears the name Lutheran.
Some quick final questions. You've mentioned several times here the hidden God, that God operates in a hidden way. With about a minute, what precisely should we understand about this hidden God?
Probably the easiest thing would be to borrow a Corby phrase, and that's stick your eyes in your ears and listen. That, when Jesus ascended into glory, he precisely disappeared. He didn't go away in terms of he's not here, but he withdrew his visible presence. There's really nothing to see. There is everything to hear, and in the hearing you have everything. Faith comes by hearing. And so, you know, the Lord's Supper, how do we know this is the body and blood of Christ? Nothing that you see or taste or smell will tell you it's the body and blood of Christ. And thanks be to God for that, because eating and drinking it would be a rather difficult, if not repulsive, experience. But God hides what is behind something else, and he tells you what's going on. So you take this bread and you eat it. It is the body of Christ because Christ says so. You know, this baptism is your rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit because he says so. Your sins are forgiven. You may not feel that way. You may not feel any different whatsoever. But because you have heard it and God has addressed you in his word, spoken word that has come to your ear, you are forgiven. He hides his glory under this mask of weakness so that you might have communion with him. That's his gift to you.
In light of all we've said about the theology of the cross, again with a minute, what does it mean then to pray, thy will be done?
That is the stance of faith. It is to recognize, it is first of all to believe that God's will is good and gracious even when it doesn't seem that way. Even when it seems you have been abandoned by God, even though it seems, as Job said himself, that God has become his enemy. Nevertheless, it's a trust, and it's a trust for no other reason than Christ crucified for our sakes, that God is good and he is gracious, that he's kindly disposed to us, that his heart is turned toward us, and that he is joined to us in our sufferings. And so when we pray, thy will be done, we are saying, I don't know what's best for me. I'm not in a position. I don't have, as I said in the last hour, I don't have the capacity to see this. I am self-oriented. I'm not God. God is God. And trusting that he's merciful for his son's sake, I'm basically saying, you be in charge. I'm in the passenger seat anyway. I acknowledge it. You take me where you believe I need to go, because I trust that your will is good and it's gracious and all will ultimately work for my salvation and eternal life.
Finally, with 30 seconds, what comfort do we find in this theology of the cross?
I think there are many ways you could express it. I can think of two off the top of my head. One is it's the comfort of freedom. We do not have to analyze the headlines or our own personal headlines, the events of our life, and try to read them like tea leaves. Is God kind toward me? Does he love me? Is he gracious toward me? The answer from the cross is God loves you in Christ. You are redeemed in Christ. You're a child of God in Christ in spite of your circumstances. Secondly, it's also a comfort knowing that all these things, whether they appear to me as being good or bad, happy or sad, however it is, God is bundling all of that and working that as the complete package of my salvation, so that none of these elements dare be missing. I can rejoice equally in my sufferings as I can do in my happy times when I'm feeling great, because I know that God is at work doing the work of my salvation and all of that. And through all these things, he is making me who I am in Christ, a new person. And so this is received as a gift, even though the world would say, oh, you're cursed by God. No, it's a gift from the hand of a loving father who cares for his children.
1-800-737-0172 is the phone number for our automated resource line. You can use that number to request a free copy of our Next Issues, Etc. journal. You can also use that number to join our monthly or annual donor program called the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. 1-800-737-0172. You can also sign up online, issuesetc.org, or you can always write us, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Pastor Bill Swirla is pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California. He's author of an article in Modern Reformation magazine titled Suffering, Death, and the Hidden God. Thanks for being our guest, Pastor Swirla.
Thank you, Todd. Always a pleasure.
Certainty is a rare commodity. Even people who believe that they are certain often they think they have the best reason to be certain that God is favorably disposed toward them. After all, look at my life. Look how much better it is than it used to be. Or look how much God is seemingly favoring me with blessings. And they tend to discount the hardships, the sicknesses, the illness, and ultimately they'll have to discount death if they're going to deal with God on that basis. Give thanks to God that he doesn't deal with us the way we think he ought to. We would have no certainty of his mercy toward us because the circumstances of our life, the way we feel about God, how we think he must be disposed to us, all of that is irrelevant because it offers no genuine certainty or assurance that God is favorably disposed toward us, that he has forgiven our sins, that he does not hold our sins against us, and that he is ready, making good on his promises of forgiveness, life, and salvation. There is only one, and I mean it, only one way to know that all of that is true about God and you, and that is to look squarely upon the crucified and risen Jesus Christ for you. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen each week to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues, Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.